This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. It is a great hosting provider if you want to start your own blog or website. I use it myself, and I'm a very happy customer. It's super cheap also, and they make it really easy. $6.95 per month and one-click installation of a WordPress blog if you're not very technical. Go check it out at sqpn.com/Bluehost. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website, onceuponatime.sqpn.com, before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show.
You really don't know who I am, do you?
I know exactly who you are. The Wicked Witch.
Is that all?
I'm not that interested.
Please allow me to introduce myself. You can call me Zelina.
That's my dress.
I had to take it in a little bit at the hips, but looks better on me, don't you think?
I think you never should have left Oz.
You can have your castle back if you want it that badly. I was just trying it on for size. Besides, I've already seen everything worth seeing. Your closet, your gardens, your crypt.
Yes, how did you break the blood lock?
I didn't.
The door was open. No one's that powerful.
Cora really never told you.
Told me what?
The truth about us, Regina.
What are you talking about? And how do you know my mother?
Same way you do. I'm your sister.
Welcome to another episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the shocker second episode of the second half of the season called Witch Hunt. And it's, of course, all about the Wicked Witch of the West and who she truly is. And joining me today, a lovely lady from the West, Shelley. Good to have
you
on the show.
Good morning.
We have an equally lovely lady from the North, Inge.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome to the show. And also joining us, a gentle knight from the West, David.
And I'll settle for somewhat presentable.
Joining us from his horse and carriage, probably somewhere on a parking lot.
Also somewhat presentable.
Exactly. I'm Father Roderick from the Netherlands, and together we formed the team, or at least part of the team, because not everyone was able to make it for today, but we're happy to be four to discuss this great episode of Once Upon a Time. And, well, by saying great episode, I'm already kind of telling what I thought of the episode. I really enjoyed it. There were some nice twists and, of course, a big shocker. Which allows me to make lots of Star Wars references later on in the show. But we won't talk about that. As first of all, I want to hear from our other three members of the panel how they would rate this episode. Shelley?
Well, originally I was giving it a B. Just a nice solid B. Moved the story along. And for me, the whole impact was in that last 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The two big reveals were just like, whoa, oh, 1,000 questions. And I wasn't really excited about the show until Inga sent an email out before we started recording. And I read her questions that I know we'll talk about. And then I got, we're going to have fun talking today.
Cool. Now, I'm curious because I did not read that email. But I was, there's probably more to this episode than I saw myself. David, what about you?
I don't know if we're rating an A or B or a scale of 1 to 10 now, but I'd go for an 8 now, just because it was another good one, and the last 10 minutes was really where everything was, where the magic was, so to speak. So that really brought it up another notch. If that 10 minutes had lasted 15 minutes, I would have probably given it a full 10.
Wow.
So
that's pretty great. Excellent. Inga, well, we've heard about your email. How would you rate this episode?
On a scale of 1 to 10, because I'm not more familiar with that, I would give it 8.5.
8.5. Wow. And you weren't that enamored with the previous episode, right?
No, usually what makes me tick with this kind of TV shows is the mystery and the questions and the puzzling, and it didn't do a lot of that last week.
Mm-hmm.
It just moved off the plot, and so you get a memory potion. Well, that's nice and convenient. It's somewhat too nice and too convenient. Mm-hmm. But this when I heard about the twists, we're like, of course, we speculated about this. And then I got all excited, and it redeemed most of the past season for me.
Wow. Well, that's quite a pivotal thing to do for this show. I really enjoyed this episode, especially because it did something very classic. It turned the series into a whodunit. You know, it's like, who cast this curse? And you get Emma in the role that I think is really fitting for her, and it's the role of the detective. It's like, let's try to figure out who did this, and let's be very logical and have a process of elimination, and try to single out the evil person behind this. The only thing that kind of brings this or didn't work is that we as viewers, we already know that it's probably the Wicked Witch, right? So we have a bit of pre-knowledge, which made it less of a reveal, of course. But through the characters in the town, it is a big reveal.
But the motivation is the big question.
Yes.
I think that's what got Inga all excited.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And also things that the characters will do. And you know already what's going on, that you will yell at your screen, don't do that, don't do that, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, this episode has a nice rhythm in that it flashes back to the Enchanted Forest and to the present day. Present day is, of course, Storybrook. The Enchanted Forest kind of picks up where we left everybody at the end of the first part of the season. And I think the two stories were nicely balanced. I mean, there wasn't too much Storybrook, there wasn't too much Enchanted Forest, and there were some nice moments in both worlds. Let's start.
I agree. Yeah. It did have that balance.
Mm-hmm. Let's start.
Oh, and just to clarify, my B would translate into about a seven.
Okay. So. Let's start with the Enchanted Forest and what happens there. We before even the logo is introduced, or they have that little title sequence, we see that Wicked is in the presence of one of her flying monkeys. We don't know exactly who it is, but she's trying on the dresses and the jewelry of Regina. And it's kind of a weird scene. I mean, there wasn't much information in it. I was wondering, why did they show this? And it made sense at the end, of course, with the final reveal. But her behavior was a bit strange. I was like, well, who cares, you know? Why would you care about that jewelry and the dresses? But it becomes clear that she wants to take the place of her sister and have what she has.
Yeah.
They gave a few clues, I think, in that. Because when she's going through the jewelry, she says, A family could live off what this is worth, and Regina just left it all behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's all wasted on her. And knowing now what we
good
the big
point.
Reveal,
yeah.
She must have grown up wanting. She must have grown up, wanting basically everything that Regina had. She did not have that, and she reminds me more of Cora in the beginning. Cora as the Miller's daughter who. Mm-hmm. Who wanted respect and wanted more than her station. Here Regina had it all.
It's a great classic fairy tale theme, of course. The two children, and one gets everything and the other one gets nothing, or even biblical. it's a really nice contrast.
Yeah, it also gave it a little bit away from me, because I was like, why are you so on Regina's possession? That means you have a personal vengeance against her. And Regina already said in the last episode, I don't know, I have never met her. I know who the Wicked Witch. I know from
mm-hmm,
theory
from the
who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea what she has against me. So that made me already puzzled. So there's something going on and which has to be revealed. So you knew it's something personal,
mm-hmm. But that it would be family. That was a big reveal, and I didn't see that coming. Especially because, well, just like what Regina says at the end of the episode, but you're green. Oh, details. So it's a half sister. But
oh, and who do we know who's green?
Yes.
Shrek?
No.
The Hulk?
Rumpel.
Oh. Rumpel.
Rumpel.
The dark one.
Huh?
Yes, at one point he gets his lizard scaly skin, which is green, light green.
He shines and shimmers when he's the dark one.
No way.
Yes. They had a relationship. They were, go back to the Miller's Daughter episode. Remember, she ripped her heart, Cora ripped her own heart out because she was in love with Rumpel. And she had to marry the king, or Henry the prince, but she was in love with Rumpel, and Rumpel didn't want her. Rumpel only wanted Bay.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
and then perhaps she got rid of Wicked because, or Zelina or whatever her name is, because she reminded her too much of Rumpel?
In the original fairy tale, we speculated about this. The Miller's daughter has to give up her firstborn in order to be able to make gold out of straw.
Uh-huh.
So, if Selina is her firstborn, she may have had to give up Selina in order to spin straw.
And also remember that when she's working on that contract with Rumpel, he can see the future. He knows her daughter's the one that's enacting the curse. But he says he wants her firstborn, she will be very important. And then later he amends the contract to say she will owe him my child. And that implies it will be their child. But at the time we speculated that he said that because he means that Cora's child will owe him Bay.
Right.
And did that fulfill the contract when he got Bay back because Regina enacted the curse?
That is crazy. I totally missed that. Maybe
Rumpel knew that Cora was pregnant, but she didn't know that herself yet. And there made a contract to give him his child.
Oh. But
she ripped her heart out because she had Regina, and she knew Regina was going to be the queen, but she'd already given the first child to Rumpel.
And of course, and that makes it also clear that, I mean, it explains why she would want Regina to have everything, because she overcompensated for the loss of her first child. Ah, this is fascinating.
It also explains why Selina not only resents Regina because Cora kept her, but also because Rumpelstiltskin taught Regina, and he chose her to enact the church, the curse. And if Rumpelstiltskin is her father, then she's kind of rejected by both her parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the father puts his trust in his, and she, that's how she's going to see it from her point of view, not knowing, like Regina says, well, you got the better end of the deal, sweetheart. I only got what she wanted, you know.
Go ahead, David.
So that also explains last minute or so of the episode when they're in the cellar.
Oh, that was
that was creepy.
But
weird.
How many people thought it was going to be Bay? Neil?
Me.
Me.
I didn't even know what was going to happen. I was just in shock.
I was still getting myself together after hearing that Regina had a sister.
I knew that Rumpel would return.
She crossed from the farmhouse, just like the Wizard of Oz in Kansas. She crossed the farmhouse to go into the tornado cellar down below.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. I'm from Kansas. I recognize that right away.
I missed that too. That's awesome.
So remind me, the Wicked Witch of the West. That's the one you throw water on, or that's the one you land a house on?
The bucket of water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Water.
But that was that. That's a reference that's later on mentioned by Grumpy, I think.
That was a great line, too.
Yes. I have to rewatch this episode. I totally missed all these references. Regina wants to get inside the castle to lower the shield. That is her mission. And, of course, Robin Hood is following her because, well, you know what? The monkey tried to get his son and gracefully turned into a toy by Regina. I didn't know she was able to do that kind of stuff. She Regina does not want help because we learn that she actually just wants to make this her final goodbye. She wants to solve the problem, get rid of the Wicked Witch, and then fall asleep and never wake up unless Henry wakes her. A very fairy tale like thing to do.
They had a very nice conversation, a getting to know you conversation, going through the tunnels and getting into the fire in the courtyard, or to the point where she made the sleeping potion spell. I think they're definitely going to be exploring, does she get a happy ending, and what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, I now that we see how much, you know, Robin Hood and Regina are bounding and doing everything together, it's clear. And there's a bit of an antagonism between the two. I mean, they don't really seem to click. It's all, of course, setting up their later romance or whatever it is.
Yeah, he has not shown his tattoo yet.
Mm-hmm. So,
No, and Inga, I think that's going to be a really fun reveal.
Yeah.
When she sees the tattoo, either he's hurt or his shirt comes open or his arms sleep. That's going to be
He wears gloves all the time. So I like to put off. It's not cold. Get rid of those gloves, you know. So.
Uh-huh.
Not soon. Not soon.
And of course, there's another mystery that we're introduced to, and that is what happened to we don't even know if it's his wife, but the mother of his child. And he says something like, I put her in harm's way. Do you think this is going to be an episode later on? Or
the one has been revealed. It was in Skin Deep, I think. So Robin Hood sneaks in Rumpel's castle.
Okay.
To... I think a lucky arrow or something. He wants to steal something in order to heal his wife who's sick.
Oh, okay.
And then Rumpel goes after him and he wants to kill Robin Hood, but Belle prevents that. So he gets healed anyway. And then later on she dies. But
oh, yeah. You know what? That's why I would prefer some more flashbacks and just give us a little update. There is just so much in this series that I just totally forget. I blank out on stuff like that. Like, wait, did we already know this or didn't we? Anyway, so that's resolved. Let's talk about what else happened. So they enter the castle. The door is open. I love that little Indiana Jones sequence, which, by the way, was not exploited as much as I would have hoped for. I mean, the trap and it all looked cool, but also a bit like, yeah, we don't have the budget to turn this into a full action sequence.
Yeah, if they could have been chased by a boulder, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah, or snakes falling from the...
I don't care, anything. But now it's just a trap and it's not even working and it's not even hard to get by. I mean, they're just walking through the spikes and... Yeah, they keep talking to each other. I mean, there's no challenge whatsoever. What a lousy trap that is.
I thought it was a little more about trust that she was letting him into. I mean, the castle is so well guarded and there's traps everywhere. And it's sort of, she's letting him in and she's showing him the way. And it's kind of like the fortress that, you know, she's made out of her heart.
Good point. The spikes are almost a metaphor of her resistance. Huh, I like that. But then the door is open, which is impossible because Regina uses these blood curses all the time and no one can break them. Or blood magic. I'd never heard of that.
We've seen that before. Magic. You know, when Bay got in the beginning of the season, he got in Rumpel's castle. And he explains to, I think, Robin Hood also, that his father used blood magic to hide a portal, so only people who are related to him or himself could open it because of the blood bond.
Okay.
And at first I thought that's what the monkey wanted, the blood.
Yeah, me too.
Ah, makes sense. But then, of course, we now know that it's just because, well, a half-sister can just walk right in, leave the door open. I was constantly waiting for, you know, for the trap to close, because I mean it's so convenient, the door is open and the whole castle is abandoned, even though there is this protective spell over the castle clearly from someone else than Regina. So why aren't they more kind of aware of the potential danger? They just walk in and
they use secret tunnels to get into the castle, so Zelina probably doesn't know about a tunnel, so she's like, there's a dome over my, I live under the dome, so nobody gets in.
Oh, that makes sense. But still, but
I almost think Zelina wanted Regina to come.
Oh, yeah.
It was almost as if she was taunting her by having the curse over the protection spell over the castle. I think Zelina knew there was another way to get in, and she left it open for her.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's how she got in the first time, through the trap.
Hmm.
Because they come in, and she says, the door is open.
Yeah.
But they go into that crypt, and I wondered why they went into the crypt first. But it was, I guess, for them to mention Cora.
I think so, too. It's to establish the refresh our memories that Cora is, you know, was Regina's mother, et cetera. So it kind of binds everything together. Now, I was wondering, I have a note here, and I don't remember if this was in the Enchanted Forest or in Storybrooke, where they do the deduction. Belle knows, hey, monkey with wings, this has to be Oz. Yeah, it has to be from Oz. I think it is in the Enchanted Forest, right?
Yes, that's in the Enchanted Forest in the beginning.
The bookworm is right.
Yeah.
Right.
It kind of makes sense that she has read about it. Yes.
And that's
then the Lollipop Guild reference. And then.
Yeah, what was that about? I don't even know what the Lollipop Guild is.
Lollipop, it's another part of Oz, another part of the Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy landed in the Wizard of Oz, they thanked her for crushing the witch with her house by, you know, the Lollipop Guild, like basically sang to her thank you.
Oh, so the Lollipop Guild are the little the midgets.
The Munchkin,
in Munchkin Land. So.
I do remember.
Yeah,
you got the three. Yeah, I've got the YouTube video here. Let's listen to a song. I do remember that. There you go, the Lollipop Guild.
And you have to do your little head
will be in my head for the entire day.
Yes.
Say that again.
A little head bob when they, you know, the way they jerk their heads side to side like little tough people. Yeah. It's a great scene.
I wonder if this was part of the book as well, because I don't remember. I do remember it from the movie, but not from the book. I don't know if that had that name or not. But then again, I read it in Dutch, so perhaps it was a totally different name. And then we have the quote from Grumpy is like, so the Wicked Witch, East or West? And Regina is like, who cares? Well, you know, otherwise, you know, a bucket of water can solve everything.
One you drop a house on, the other you throw a bucket of water.
Yeah. Like, Which, yeah, of course,
it's so funny that everybody has their Storybrooke memories, because everybody now knows those, our version of the fairy tale. So they have the information.
Now, I do wonder if the water is going to play a role in...
It has to.
In the defeat of the Wicked Witch of the West. I mean, if they stick to the story, sure. But perhaps in a different way. Perhaps in a way that we don't expect.
Or we could drop a house on her and see what happens.
Yeah. True. Yeah, why not? I mean, after all, Regina can lift these huge boulders in like a Yoda kind of way. So why not a whole house? Size matters not.
I was wondering, are the Wicked Witch of the West and Wicked Witch of the East related in the Book of Oz?
Sisters.
So yeah. Does it make Regina the Wicked Witch of the East, or is it another sister?
Oh. Well, perhaps there will be a big fight where Regina is trying to kill her half-sister with water, and then
her
Wicked, Wicked
drops
is,
a house
is,
on
is, yeah, is dropping yeah. houses all over the place. Who knows? Fascinating. It's funny to hear that they know about Kansas and everything, and in Storybrooke as well. Emma is like, but it doesn't make sense. We're not even in Kansas.
It's kind of meta. Where they're like, they're from a book, but we're all here, and they're in a. Oh, I don't know.
I love Hook's line. So at one point, Emma thinks it's crazy, and then Hook says the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love these inside jokes. Let's see, what else have we got in the Enchanted Forest? So we have the Merry Men, because they're back there too. Oh yeah, there's the whole sequence with the bow, and the turkey. Or is that in Storybrooke?
That's in
Storybrooke.
Oh, it's in Storybrooke. Okay. Let's skip
that. You were at to the point in the Enchanted Forest where she's going to make the sleeping curse, and
yes.
Robin wants to, and she was that when she chokes him?
There's yeah, she Darth does Vader totally the Darth moment. Vader choke thing.
Right.
Force choke.
And
he says, "You mean the spell you used on Snow White?" And she's like, "No, that one came from Maleficent."
Yeah, but apparently she found the recipe on YouTube or something, because now she knows how to make it herself. And
but just one more way that she's just going to give up.
You know, yeah,
an easy way out. She's just going to bury it. She's just going to go to sleep, and right. Maybe Henry will wake her up.
Yeah, but nope, she doesn't no, even
I won't
count
bear,
on it.
I won't tear out my heart, but instead I'll sleep for eternity.
Yeah. It's sad, especially because, you know, Robin Hood is there, and we already know that she's destined to have a happy ending. And, you know, even if she can't get Henry, she can at least have Robin Hood. But she's given up so early, and Robin is like, well, you know, I know exactly how you feel because, you know, my wife died and I have a son. And she's like, you have no idea.
I've already lost the only thing I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to me that when we talk about happy endings, we refer to it always as a relationship.
Mm-hmm. True.
Whether it's a romantic relationship or it's the familial relationship, but it's always that connection with another person.
Mm-hmm.
But she also told to the Wicked Witch, because the Wicked Witch said, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to take everything away from you. And she's like, you don't have to. I already lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder. So what else can you possibly do to break Regina, because she already is broken?
Yeah. 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 Well, it's kind of what the Wicked Witch says is, you know, oh, no, killing you would be way too easy. I want something that is much worse. And so it's this whole thing about eternal suffering. You know, it's basically the definition of hell is to live the eternity without the people you love. That's worse than dying, because dying is easy, you know.
Right. And I was wondering if right there, I mean, I wonder if that's I don't think they really made as huge a point on it, but I wonder if that was the whole reason that Zelena did the curse in the first place, because, yeah, you know, she wanted her to suffer. But, you know, and then you go back to Regina seeing her son, but her son just looked right through her, and she says she couldn't imagine a worse torture than that.
Yeah.
So bingo, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Yeah,
totally.
And whether Henry came back or not, for Regina to be stuck in Storybrooke, trapped in Storybrooke, and I know that Henry is there in that realm, in that world, and not be able to not be able to share with him.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
So it mm-hmm. kind of makes it clear to me that it was, you know, the Wicked Witch who did the second curse that brought everyone back to Storybrooke. But it's still, I mean, let's get to those questions later when we talk about Storybrooke, because we're still in the Enchanted Forest here. What else happens? She breaks the spell.
Yeah, she goes to the fire and breaks the spell.
Yeah, that was another, you know, big Star Wars kind of thing with, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi turning off the what is it, the force field around the Death Star, and it had that same sound. It's like,
yeah, that's I remember that. I was like, I'm watching the Star Wars movie. I'm like, hey,
it's a very. I think it is a deliberate Star Wars reference. It's funny. There's a Star Trek reference in this episode as well, but we'll get to that. But I really like that. And then she just wants to go to sleep. And that's where we get the reveal of the Wicked Witch. And no, I won't let you sleep. She's wearing Regina's dress, and you get the quote that we heard at the beginning of the episode. You know, I had to take in, this robe around the hips, but
yeah,
oh, that is a sibling moment.
Yeah,
stab it around and then just move around the dagger a little bit to make it extra hurt.
And then
she's surprised that Cora didn't tell Regina the truth.
Oh, is she?
She's surprised. She said, how did you break the bloodlock? No one is that powerful. And Selena's like, Cora never really told you the truth about us. Uh-huh. She's like, how do you know my mother? Same way you do. I'm your sister.
That was such an Empire Strikes Back moment. Mm-hmm. It's like,
I'm your father.
Yoda never told you the truth. Or Obi-Wan Kenobi never told you the truth about your father. he told me my father was dead. No, I am your father. No. So a very similar thing here.
And that Regina dismisses it because it's not possible. You're green. And yeah. Selena's just like, you're rude.
Yeah, you're rude.
Yeah.
You know, like half-sister, different fathers. Details. It ends up not to be. If your theory is correct and it is Rumple, then it's not really a detail, right?
Yeah, and she says, Cora had me first before she wormed her way into the dregs of royalty. She gave me up and sent me away. Yep. Again with the abandonment issues.
Mm-hmm.
You she kept. She gave you everything. And Regina rolls her eyes. Well, everything she wanted. You were lucky to escape her.
Yep. And it is true to the series where every evil has hurt at the core of it. So there has to be... Someone is never just evil because of evil's sake. There is always something that hurts. And, well, it's very clear, being abandoned by your parents, that's pretty big. That turns you really...
Yeah, it's not easy being green.
Yeah, exactly. How appropriate that we're recording this day after St. Patrick's Day. So green is like a recurring theme here. And I'm also thinking green of envy, you know? It's like really green of envy when she tells Regina everything that Regina had and she hadn't. So,
and you know, did you catch that Zelina did reference Rumple in that same dialogue here? She said, when Regina said, you're lucky to escape her, and Zelina said, try living in Oz, growing up without a mother. And then she said, not the other man our paths both crossed. Ooh. And when Regina said, Rumple, she says, what, did you think you were his only student?
Yeah, student. That's what I picked up on. But not father,
relative. But that sentence before was like, she kind of tells it like, the other man is, that's your father, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there would be sibling rivalry for attention from a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So. And then she says, I made something of myself and I didn't need Cora or Rumple. And Regina tells her they're both dead. And Selena's just like, you're the only one I need alive.
Yeah.
But we don't know why Regina. So, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. What does she... Well, revenge, that's something I can understand. If she just wants Regina to suffer as much or even worse than she suffered herself. But what do you accomplish by that?
I think that I have a theory about it. Maybe because they are connected through blood. It's like a little bit like the Force, because since we're now making Star Wars references, what if Regina dies or suffers, that she can kind of increase her own power by it? So she gets all powerful? Because Regina is really powerful. If you take that away from her, then
think
you
get
it.
I mean, Wicked is powerful enough. I mean, she has had a good teacher in Rumple. I was wondering if it could have something to do with Rumpelstiltskin, who, you know, turns out to be alive. Big shocker. Is there something... Because ultimately, I think she hates Rumple more than she hates Regina.
I have one more tiny little thing about the Enchanted Forest before we move there.
Sure.
And that was, did you notice after she leaves, after Zelina flies off on the broomstick, that Regina smiles?
Yeah.
And she goes back to Robin and she says, I just needed to find something to live for.
Exactly.
Something I haven't had in a very long time.
Someone to destroy.
Oh, it was, see.
Big grin. And big happy grin with that.
Yes.
It was. Like she, like, I could destroy someone. I'm like, wow, that's you shouldn't be that happy. That's just wow.
Why not? She spent 20 years of her life doing
exactly,
it.
Exactly, like a drug addict.
True.
It's like, oh, finally, this is. I missed this.
I was like, I haven't seen her smile that wide in like two seasons. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is, of course, a great opposition between, you know, these two sisters, and then they're equally powerful. So who's going to win? It's hard to tell. Of course, we're all rooting for Regina, and that's going to be so much fun to finally root for Regina being evil, because there's something even more. There's someone even more evil.
I couldn't have imagined 2 seasons ago that I ever would root for Regina.
Yeah, well, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
It's like we're a bit like Red in Storybrooke. She missed everything, and she's like, wait, what? Regina? And yeah, a lot has happened.
It wasn't Red.
Oh, I thought it was.
I think you reference...
I refer to the girl in the
yeah, that was Zelina. She wasn't green, but that was the Wicked Witch in the storybook.
No, at one point there is... I think it was Red who was saying something about Regina. And
Red in the very beginning, Red and Snow in the Enchanted Forest are talking, and Snow is saying Regina's changed. Mm-hmm. I hope for the better. And yeah. Red's kind of like, well, you know, if it wasn't for all the time she's tried to kill us, and you know, I'd tell you she doesn't look very well.
Oh, I thought that actually was in Storybrooke, but you're right. This was in the forest, not in the forest. I get so confused because we see some stuff in present day, and they're also walking in the forest. It's like too many trees.
I loved seeing Red back.
Yeah, me too. It's great, and I hope she gets a full blown part to play in this part of the season. Let's go to Storybrooke.
Started Father with Emma and Mary Margaret and David talking about how they don't really know what happened.
Yes. Yeah. And it's very confusing because Hook is there too, and so he briefly mentions Philip and Aurora, and then everybody's like, well, who brought us here? And Hook mentions something about a message that was brought to him via a bird, and that sounds very Snow White-like, but of course Snow has no memory of that.
But it was a seagull, and a seagull is the friend of Ariel.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. At least in the animated movie.
Yeah, I was wondering, maybe it was Zelina who did that, because there was a file attached to it with a memory potion, so now only Emma remembers and Henry doesn't.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I think that they did that on purpose. There was not enough for the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so there could be
a
bigger plan.
Walsh knew last episode about the potion.
Who?
Walsh, the flying monkey she dated.
Oh, okay.
So you should never have drank the potion. I like you better before. And he couldn't have possibly known about the potion.
Right, so the potion was part of the plan. But why? Why?
I like that.
Why send the potion? Why did... What's the advantage for Wicked to have someone remember?
Emma would bring Henry to Storybrooke, walking around in Storybrooke and with no memory, and leaving Regina in agony because of that.
It's a big risk to take,
Henry's
though.
Henry's just out of reach.
Yeah, perhaps. Although, you know, Hook might have done something else with the potion. I mean, it's kind of a risky plan. But it worked, that's for sure. And it's, of course, very strange to wake up in Storybrooke and then not even knowing how you got pregnant. I mean, it's like, does she know that it's like Prince Charming's child, or what else happened?
The producers have said it.
Huh?
According to the producers, it's Charming's child.
Okay, yeah, I hope so. But, I mean, it must be scary to wake up and you're like, I don't know, 8 months pregnant. And it's like, wait, when did this happen? Oh. But anyway, they are also very concerned because people are disappearing one by one. And Emma is constantly asking, you know, where's Neil? Because apparently Neil is not around.
Did you see the expression on Hook's face when she...
Oh, really?
I was wondering about that.
They still do the love triangle thing?
Yeah, he's still a little pained.
Wow. The big question is now, how do they get their memories back? How can we figure out how to do that? So that's the... how can they recover what happened in the Enchanted Forest? They then, go to... grandmother's restaurant, or what's it called? The bar?
Granny's.
I think it's just called Granny's.
Just Granny's? Okay.
Yeah.
They couldn't work out a sponsorship for that. So it's just Granny's. And Red knows that Henry likes cinnamon on his hot chocolate. And Henry's like, how do you know that? I just guessed. Snow and Charming are introduced to Henry, and of course they have to make up a story, and so they're old friends of Emma. And didn't they say that they were in jail together with Emma? Or?
Yeah, I laughed out loud.
They don't really strike me as jailbirds. But then, of course, the big thing there is that Regina enters, recognizes Henry, and is like stunned, literally. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't move.
She drops something.
She's flabbergasted. And then she also, of course, is shocked to see Emma. And so they walk away, and Regina's, well, how did you know how to come here? And Emma immediately is like, well, didn't you do something with a curse? And Regina is like, I'm not going to hurt myself. If I use curses, it's to punish other people, not myself. So, and it's clear, I believe her at that moment. So that is why later on, when the whole town rallies against Regina, I was like, come on, doesn't make sense. But anyway.
But doesn't Emma also say that, see, I use my superpower, you're not lying. And then she says something about that she truly loves Henry. And then Emma says, oh, see, you're not lying. So you're telling the truth again. So I love that.
There you go, telling the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a really nice moment there.
I loved seeing them work together for a change.
Well, there's a lot of trust now. Yeah. Then we get the sequence with the merry men and Little John, of course, being hungry, going after the turkey. Funny.
And you caught that he stole the crossbow from a shopkeeper, and he brushes it off by saying, oh, he looked rich.
He was rich. Isn't Little John supposed to be the priest in that company? In the original Robin Hood?
Friar Tuck.
Oh, Friar Tuck. Anyway, so the turkey crosses the town line. Little John does, and all of a sudden the monkey appears and takes him away. And clearly the monkeys possess some kind of vampire bite or something, because now Little John is infected and turns into a monkey himself at the hospital.
Yeah, so not a werewolf, but a
that monk. Was scary. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that tail came out of nowhere. That was, that was a little freaky.
Yeah. Why would the monkey only be able to abduct people when they cross the town line? Is there any meaning to that?
I think it's their way of keeping people in. Make sure they don't leave.
Oh, that could be it. So there's no real protection spell anymore. It's not like it used to be when you cross a town line, you forget everything. And so that spell is not in effect anymore, I suppose. Now, then we get the sequence in the town hall and everybody blaming the evil queen. And that was a moment that was a bit bewildering to me, because Emma also was blaming
Regina. But it was
Regina.
Part of a plan.
It was part of a plan, but I was like, come on, this is not realistic. I mean, Emma should know better, but she did know better.
They were running a con.
Yeah, and Wicket is there and clearly falls for it. He's like, everybody against Regina. So
I liked the part where she says, fine, if you want me to be the evil queen, that's exactly who you'll get.
And she does the purple smoke thing. I love the next scene that we see, where Snow is again at Granny's and she's reading American Baby. It's probably one of those books that everybody knows in the US about raising children or something.
I did not like this scene.
No?
It looked a little dated, but I, you know, my daughter's only 15 months old, and I had flashbacks to everything, every book that we ended up getting as new parents.
Did you?
For me, this was the creepiest scene in this episode.
It was.
I was totally creeped out.
It was.
Yes. Especially when you consider the previews they showed at the end of the, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. Spoilers. I have not
seen that
yet.
No, that's not a spoiler. It was creepy. Creepy is a creepy.
Okay. I was wondering if it was a real book. I suppose it is, but I'm Googling it now, but I can't really. I mean, it's a magazine, American Baby, but I don't see a book.
I think it was just like a Dr. Spock or a...
Something like that, yeah. It looked old-fashioned, but it makes sense because, of course, the library in Storybrooke has not been updated for 40 years or something, so...
But when the snow asks her... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, David.
I would say it was just still funny to hear her talk about all those things. Like, oh, that's right. She was in an enchanted forest when she was pregnant the first time. This stuff probably didn't come up much.
Yeah. But now I think Snow wants to do this the right way. Now that she has a new baby, she wants to be prepared and do all the things that she's supposed to do as a mother. And then, the wicked witch introducing her as a, you know, just a supporting player. And I don't know.
I'm a midwife.
I wasn't here last time. I'm a midwife. So, you know, I can help you out. And what an honor to help Snow White, you know. Starstruck, but so there is something creepy about that as well.
Yeah, what does Zelina want with this baby? That's what my big question.
Well, my big question is, how is she going to hurt Regina / Rumpel by getting power over Snow? Does she wants to abduct Snow's baby just the same way that Rumpel abducted or kind of like claimed her as the first? Born or I don't know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I think she's done something to the baby, infected it some way,
or
is going to take it.
But yeah.
I don't know what.
There are lots of fairy tales where, when a baby is born and it was cursed, and the first, for example, the first. Animal or thing that the mother sees it that will the baby turn into, that kind of stuff. So there are some fairy tales which have that that plot. So,
but she clearly wants to be present at the birth. So
yes.
That's a very important moment.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, Regina, meanwhile, is trying to replicate the memory potion, but fails. She can't do it, and we don't know exactly why, but.
Because she didn't make it in the first place.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, that confirms my theory that Zelina made a potion because she's completely unfamiliar with it.
Yeah.
And she has she still has all her knowledge from the enchanted forest, her magic knowledge.
I was just surprised that she couldn't make something as simple as a memory potion. That's it. To me, that should be the 101 for, you know, anyone who does magic in the Enchanted Forest, right? It's the stuff you learn in the first 5 lessons, but apparently not. Rumpel could probably do that. You know, he could save the day, but Rumpel is crazy. Well, we'll talk about that. Instead, Emma comes up with a plan. This is used to be her job. I really like that she is now using some of her old skills from her previous job. So she's just going to smoke out the perpetrator. And we'll just pretend that we're making a memory potion, and that will probably alert whoever doesn't want people to remember. And so that's when we will be able to track that person down. It's a good plan. And apparently, when Grumpy enters Granny's and announces to everyone that Regina is trying to make the memory potion, you see that the Wicked Witch is reacting concerned, and you know, stands up and. Probably is going to do something about it. So the plan seems to work.
So what Regina does, she seals the room with blood magic again.
Because she doesn't remember,
of course. Where she keeps the memory curse. So they are smoking out. And she says, well, no, don't worry. The person can't leave the room because I sealed it with blood magic.
Yeah. And then, of course.
Right, they can get in, but not out.
It didn't work. And we see later on that the Wicked Witch has destroyed her little chemistry lab and is disappearing in a puff of smoke. And Regina is, of course, startled. Is like, that's not possible. And this is before we get the reveal in the show that it, you know, how the Wicked Witch can do all this stuff. So I like that. That's the kind of stuff that was really good in this episode. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's like, well, wait a minute. How is this possible? If Regina says it can't be done, are we even talking about magic, etc.? And then the reveal at the end really puts everything together, and it rewards you for gathering all the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think they really hit it well, the reveal. So kudos to the writers.
I think it was about this time that I went and looked up the name Zelina to see what it meant.
I was wondering about that.
And it's a Greek name that means moon goddess. But I couldn't think of a way that it really fits in here. So.
Zelina with a Z?
Yes.
Huh.
On the American closed caption, it comes up Z-E-L-E-N-A.
Okay.
And when you look it up in a name, it's Greek or almost looks like Eastern European. In English, it would be Selina, S-E-L. Mm-hmm. But it means moon goddess.
Well, she also said, call me Selina. She didn't say that was her name specifically. She said, call me Selina, right?
She introduces herself in the Enchanted Forest as Selina.
Yeah. No, I think that must be her name.
Okay, my fault.
I'm reading here on a baby name website, and I'm just so surprised how many of those websites exist. The Greek meaning of Zelina is also zealous. So I'm not sure about the moon thingy.
I'm looking it up, and maybe she said the website I'm looking up at, named Barry, says it's a variation of Celine.
Okay.
Like Celine Dion.
Okay. So it means Canadian. French Canadian.
Well, yeah. So I was wondering. So does it mean something with the dark side? Because moon, darkness. She's only operating at night, not at day. That kind of stuff.
Another theory that I read here is that Zelina is actually derived from Zelia, and Zelia could come from the French solemn. It could also be from Greek, where it's zeal or envy. Now that makes sense if Zelina is from envious. And it could also be a variant of Cecilia in Latin, which means blind. I would say it's probably because of envy. And because then it's Zelina, zeal, envious, makes sense. It fits what she truly is.
It is funny how they're able to come up with such great names that mean just the right things to have us sit here and talk about it.
It's a bit of a puzzle as well every time. It's like, okay,
it makes me wonder how long they had to talk in a brainstorm session to come up with the name.
Oh, they're just probably all Googling away. And it's like, hey, let's do the reverse thing. Which name can we connect with the word envious?
It says here on our baby namer, the name Zelina is of English origin. The meaning of Zelina is light. So it seems to be various meanings of the name.
Okay, well, I'll stick with the envy thing, because that just makes sense. It fits my theory. It's not even a theory. She's just green with envy, and her name fits it. Then we get the scene in the hospital where... actually, that reminded me of ER, you know, in all the hospital series, where all of a sudden there's like 50 people running around and, you know, trying to save him. And he has a tail all of a sudden and turns into a monkey. And I really like the Star Trek reference there from Dr. Whale. You know, don't look at me. I'm a doctor, not a vet. I thought it was brilliant. And he flies away. So what will happen to him? How are they going to get him back? This is another spell that probably needs to be corrected. But it also makes it clear that the Wicked Witch is probably building up an army of flying monkeys, using all the people that came back to Storybrooke. But I'm puzzled. It's like, why didn't she do that in the first place? Why wasn't that part of the spell? I mean, why go through all the motions of abducting people and then turning them into flying monkeys? And seems a bit laborious.
Well, maybe the curse gave her the ability to do it, because she, you know, when they first cast the first curse, it was just the bad things happen if you try to go over the line, but it was always vague. So maybe this is the bad thing that happens now.
Could be. It is interesting, though, that magic is apparently now also possible outside the boundaries of Storybrooke. And so I wonder how they contain it. This is perhaps it's the Wicket's plan to take over the world. I mean, if she's building up an army, why stop with just the people from the Enchanted Forest? If the monkeys just need to bite someone, then she could potentially turn everyone into flying monkey. We'll see. Why Storybrooke instead of Kansas? And then we get this other scene, which I thought was really well played, well acted. It's Regina being formally introduced to Henry. And Henry is like, all kind of weirded out, why all the attention? And Regina, I can give you a tour of Storybrooke, because after all, I'm the mayor. And, you know, it's the first start of reconnecting. And I love that moment where she, you know, she needs to say goodbye and she wants to embrace Henry. And Henry is like, shake hands. It's heartbreaking.
But did you notice that she removed her glove before she shook his hand?
Did she? Wow.
She pulls her glove off, so it's skin on skin. It's that touch. It's that connection.
And she can't. Well, anyway, she's shaking hands. It's a start, she says. But, of course, it's that's going to be the overarching problem that needs to be solved. How can Henry re-become Regina's mother? And I love that Emma is helping her.
I also love the mirror effect. So in the last seasons, Emma did everything to keep Henry away from Regina. And now she does everything to bring Regina together.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's turning everything upside down. Well, let's talk about the final reveal. And that is the man in the basement, Rumpelstiltskin. You should have never brought me back. And eat up. We have work to do. What work? And then that final mantra that he's repeating, you feed the madness and it feeds on you. You feed the madness and it feeds on you. What is going on? How can he be back? What's the plan? What happened here? Theories. I need explanations.
I have a theory.
Okay,
it's
go ahead.
It's kind of weird, but I have a theory.
The weirder, the better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like Harry Potter and the Horcruxes. So when he killed his father and he sacrificed himself. And I think we talked about this in the last episode, that there would be some redemption and he'd come back. Mm-hmm. But instead, maybe he didn't kill the Dark One. Maybe he killed Gold. Maybe the good in him is what he had to sacrifice. And now he is this, you know, okay, remember in Harry Potter when Voldemort kills Harry and there's that little Voldemort piece under the bench in the King's Crossing station? And they said, don't touch it, just, you know, there's no remorse, that sort of thing. Well, he's not Mr. Gold. He is mad. He's all, he's, you know, totally in the Rumpel character, the Dark One character. And he grabs her and he says this and his little singing. But if you feed it's a Zen thing. And I bet Inga knows more about this, but the Zen method of curing madness, the more you pay attention to it, the more you feed madness, the more it grows. That they tend to isolate people who are mad and give them no stimulation, no attention, and that way they're able to heal themselves. But she seems to, I mean, I don't know. I think it was like a Horcrux. He came back, but he killed the good in him, and it's all evil little Rumpel, Dark One.
I hoped he had killed the Dark One and Rumpel, and only Gold was left. But
that's what I think. But then why?
I'm hoping too.
So are they separated somehow? Could there be two?
I was thinking it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. So you have Rumpel and Rumpelstiltskin and Mr. Gold. Mm-hmm. So if one of the two was killed, and I hope it was the Dark One, and just the situation Gold was kept in made him mad, so that he's not the Dark One, but he's just mad. He's just lost his mind. Literally.
That could work too.
Yeah, he's been, I mean, if...
That's what I hope.
Maybe his sacrifice put him someplace that I mean, only the curse could bring him back, because the curse brought, you know, I don't know, this, I'm just trying to think, like, the curse, she had to enact the curse to not only torture Regina, but maybe that was the only way to bring him back, too, and, you know, I just know that from, my wife's a mental health, licensed mental health person, and, you know, if you lock someone up in a box and just leave them alone for too long, they will go nuts. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but it's I don't know where else.
And we don't know how long Rumple has been captive like that, or in prison, and what she did to him. So
that could be the 8 months. So,
but why does she need Rumple?
Because maybe she thinks Rumple still has magical powers. And yeah, of course, maybe she thinks I'm not powerful enough alone. I need to work together with Rumple, or if Rumple is her father, win Rumple back.
Play him out against. We have work to do. That refers to some plan, and we know that Snow is part of that plan. Clearly, we know that. At least for her, it's important to prevent Regina from making the memory potion. So she wants to hide what happened in that lost year. It's questions.
Maybe the baby is a threat to her. So if there's a new curse, does it mean we also need a new savior, which is the new babe?
Oh, could be. I'm kind of sad that Henry is now reduced to being just this regular guy who's playing video games and does not have anything to do anymore. I mean, he was the Messiah guy. He was the Harry Potter of Once Upon a Time, and now he's just a kid. Nothing.
Well, he still has the heart of a truest believer, so you don't know about that. What's going on?
I know, but he doesn't have much to do in this episode. I almost felt as if this was written in a way that they could also, you know, get rid of him, send him back to New York City to school, and then just remove him from the picture altogether. A bit like what they did in the series Lost, where they had this kid, and at one point they just wrote him out of the series, and we never heard of him again. So, I don't know. And then, of course, I also wonder what they're going to do with Robin Hood's son, and how he is going to be involved, because clearly that's a weakness for Robin Hood, at least in the eyes of a potential enemy. And since Robin Hood is going to be important for Regina, you know, doing something to Robin Hood also would hurt Regina. We'll see. All that and more probably coming up later on in this season. In the meantime, the chat room, which is always are a number of people watching the show live, the chat room has solved the meaning of Zelina and why the Wicked Witch calls herself Zelina. Apparently in both Croatian and Slovenian, Zelina means green. So it's the word for green. And I'm wondering if that has also to do with our expression, you know, green with envy. It's kind of like too convenient that those two are connected. So anyway, so Zelina just means green. Well, she's just greeny, which is exactly how Regina calls her. You know, bring it, greeny. Oh, boy. Well, I think that wraps it up for this show. Any final thoughts? Before we move into spoiler territory?
I don't know if I want to watch this next episode. It looks so scary.
That's what my husband said. He was like, ooh, I think this next one's not going to be one to let the kids watch first.
So far, it's never been really scary. You think it's scary, but I don't know. It's they don't really seem to go for the scary stuff. Because even in this episode, they could have brought in much more tension and do more threat, and they always seem to go for the story and for the relationships instead of for the cheap effects.
I will tell you one thing I noticed in the preview, and it's kind of a spoiler. If you don't want a spoiler,
let's first wrap up. Let's tell our people where they can find us. Our website is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. We would appreciate it if you like what you hear, and you have some time to leave us a review on iTunes or 5-star rating or something like that. That helps us find new listeners. Because believe it or not, there are still people that are discovering Once Upon a Time right now as we speak. And I, every once in a while, get email from people that in their country, the show is brand new and they start listening, or they buy the DVD set and start listening to our, you know, 3-year-old episodes, which is a lot of fun. So if you, you can help us spread the word about this show by doing that. And of course, if you want to hear more shows in the in this genre, in this style, I can heartily recommend our main website, sqpn.com. That stands for Star Quest Production Network, sqpn.com. You can find two of my shows there. I have a weekly show called The Break, where I talk about movies and trends and stuff. And I've got another show, it's called Geek Priest, because I'm a priest and a geek. And so I talk about a lot of geeky stuff. And you can find that also on sqpn.com. Let's move into spoiler territory. Let's see if I can find... Actually, I have the audio of the promo, but I'd like to see the video as well, because I haven't played it yet. So it's called The Tower, right? And let's see. TV promos previews. Let's play this one and see what happens. It's 30 seconds long.
Wicked in your town. What do you say we go find it?
ABC next Sunday. Enter a tangled web of mystery as Rumpelstiltskin returns. And Rapunzel lets down her hair.
I'm getting you out of here.
There's nothing you can do.
Everyone in Storybrooke.
What aren't you telling me?
Beware. Once Upon a Time, all new next Sunday, 8/7 Central on ABC. See full episodes anytime on Watch ABC and ABC on Demand.
Hey, did you catch the yellow brick road?
Yes.
Awesome. There was a lot in this preview. Oh my gosh, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was like, when this, all the flashing was like, it almost looks like a horror episode.
Yeah.
Like Chucky with a doll.
The doll.
Okay. Yep.
That's scary.
I wrote down The Exorcist, and I've never seen the movie, but the previews mm-hmm. always just terrified me.
Yes, it is a scary movie.
And Rapunzel, we haven't seen her before, right?
No, that's pretty cool. I'd heard already about that they would bring in that character. And it's an African-American Rapunzel, which is also interesting.
One thing I caught in this was I paused it at just the right time. And that's you've got a scene with David, Regina, Hook, and Emma, and they're standing in the tornado cellar, and they're looking at the now empty cage
mm-hmm.
that held Rumpel.
Ah, so Rumpel has escaped or is brought away, or there are a lot of interesting, intriguing details. I think that they're just trying to make it look more scary than it actually will be. That's just my gut feeling.
I hope so.
Well, when you look at how some of the other similarly styled shows have done, like Sleepy Hollow and what was the other fairy tale?
The Grimm Brothers,
or the Grimm fairy tales. I think those followers, I don't even know if those shows are still on anymore because I didn't watch them because
they
were too dark and evil.
But dark
but
seems
maybe they're
to
trying
do
to
well.
Entice them.
Perhaps. And it's something they mentioned in that episode, Wicked is Coming. Almost everyone, the writers, the actors, they all said, we like it when we go dark. You know, it's Lana Perillo. She's like, oh, I love it when I can be evil again. So it gets hinting at that we get at least, I don't think we get real true darkness or that we'll get very gritty. But I do believe that this will be very tragic, probably. I mean, you can see that evil is brooding, and this is a very dangerous opponent. I mean, this is the first time that we see someone who is actually has control and power over Rumpel in a way that is even more humiliating than what Peter Pan did to Rumpel. So
poor Rumpel.
Well, there is supposed to be a spoiler out there that one of the main ensemble characters will not live to see season 4.
And that's what I heard too.
I kept thinking it was going to be Rumpel because they killed him, but now they've brought him back. So it still puts it up in the air.
Maybe it's going to be Henry. You never know.
Could be. There's an interesting thought in the chat room again where they say, well, perhaps you know, the problem with Henry, and it's similar to what happens in the Narnia stories with Lucy, where Lucy grows up. And we see the same thing happening to Henry, of course, literally, because the boy is growing up. But he's also more now interested in, you know, video games and teenage things. So perhaps he's outgrowing the fairy tales. And perhaps that will be a theme, you know? It's like you can be too old to believe this. So he, instead of being the heart, having the heart of the true believer, becoming a teenager will actually take that away. And we need another believer. And so, I don't know. Yeah.
I have a heart of a gamer.
The heart of a gamer. Who knows? Anyway, lots of things to look forward to in this season. I think we're off to a very good start. And thank you so much for joining me today on this show. And we will be back next week with another episode of Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Your theories and feedback, of course, very much welcome on our Facebook page, on Twitter, or email probably also. You can find all the addresses in the show notes on onceuponatime.sqpn.com. Take care and see you next time.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.